T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, political science professor at UB, Jacob Neuheisel, talking about last night's debate and, of course, the start of early voting set to come. Jacob, what did you think of the debate last night? I mean, it was so different from the first debate between the two.
Morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on the program. It was a far cry from the first debate, that's to be sure, but it's still less civil than I think we came to expect over the last couple of decades of presidential debates. I mean, I'm still remembering that people were up in arms about Al Gore sighing in 2000. So, I think it reflects our underlying politics, and it certainly was more substantive than the last one.
You know, Jacob, do you think that the muted microphone change with this debate was effective, or was it really not that much of an issue?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. I think the candidates changed their behavior in acknowledgement of the new rules. And so, there were a couple things going on there. I think that Trump's advisors were reportedly telling him to be a little bit softer so as not to alienate some segments of the public who weren't particularly happy with the last debate performance. So there were a couple things moving in tandem, I think.
You know, along that line, sorry, Brian, does it seem to you that maybe for the first time in a long time, Trump is taking advice?
That's a good question. I mean, we've seen glimpses of it throughout, right, where he is able to take advice and is able to stay on message in large measure. But then again, you see flashes of him going off script. And so it's not clear how much to me is sort of this calculated approach to looking like he's just doing things off the cuff, and how much is it really him doing that.
Looking at the two debates, the first debate, obviously, you know, much maligned. Everyone thought it was one of the worst debates, if not the worst they've ever seen. But now with this one from last night in the books, I mean, is it a good picture combining the two? You have one debate showing off the personality of the two candidates and another debate where you're actually talking about policy and, you know, maybe taken together, you do have the complete picture?
I think that's probably right. I actually had not thought about it that way, but, you know, voters at this point, if they didn't before, certainly have enough information about both the policy stances and the personalities of the candidates involved.
There were no major gotcha moments, right? Or any major gaffes for either of them. How do they use this debate to each of their advantages?
I didn't see anything that really, you know, struck me as some kind of a knockout blow, but of course that's obviously in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, I think what they do, what they normally do after these types of events, which is, you know, they go to their surrogates, they go to the media with a particular line about how their candidate did relative to the other one, and of course they're doing the best they can to pick apart any kind of perceived weaknesses that the other campaign had at that moment.
We've talked about this before the first debate, before this debate last night, how pretty much most everybody has their mind made up. If you don't by now, we don't know what you were paying attention to over the last several months. But we're talking early voting opening across New York tomorrow. Early voting already happening in several states. Could it be that the debate actually will have an impact for people who said, hey, I'm planning to go to the polls on October 23rd?
That's a great question. And, you know, there are persuadable voters out there. It's easy once you're in this bubble of being around super interested people to think that lots of people are interested in politics. Really about 15% of the public is really super engaged. And so there are persuadable voters out there. There are people who are paying attention to things like this and trying to make their minds up. So it absolutely could be the case that people who aren't early voting, people who intend to vote at the polls, are impacted by this kind of thing.
No, on early voting, I mean, first of all, around the country, close to 50 million people have already cast ballots. I mean, by Election Day, we'll see probably, you know, maybe three quarters of the votes already in, right?
If it continues to keep on pace that way, or, you know, via absentee or other kinds of temporary provisions that have been brought to bear because of the pandemic. But yeah, it's going to be unusual in that regard, that's for sure.
Hey, want to, you know, focus on early voting. It's something we saw last time around. It's now in its second go-round for this year's presidential election, but certainly more people are going to show up to the polls this year than last year. Did you see anything in early voting across New York State last year that would maybe, I don't know, give you any idea of how many people might participate this time around?
It's really hard to predict. I mean, drawing inferences from an off-year election to a presidential election is really kind of a fraught type of endeavor. You know, what I saw last time suggests that early voting worked very much in the same way that it has in other states that have implemented it, which is to say that it cannibalizes Election Day vote and doesn't really do all that much for turnout. In fact, there's some evidence that actually goes the other direction in small measure. So early voting is not one of the reforms that I'm hugely in favor of.
Do you think people are genuinely concerned about their vote being counted?
I think most people are genuinely concerned, and that actually is a longstanding concern. You know, there have been surveys of voter satisfaction that look at this kind of thing, and, you know, once you throw that thing through the machine, you're kind of giving up control of it. And that's especially true if you're mailing in a ballot or you're going to an early voting center to do so. So, yeah, there are concerns. I'm not sure how reasonable those concerns are. Most ballots are actually counted.
Are you surprised because the two things seem to fly in their face, right? Where more people than ever might have concerns about integrity of the election, of their vote being counted and actually, you know, making a difference on election night. And more people than ever are mailing in the votes. And that is the one area where it seems to be the most questions about, you know, will my vote get there on time? Did I fill everything in the right way? Is all the T's crossed, I's dotted? Whereas you could just kind of go to the poll on your normal day or through early voting and avoid that question. Is it surprising to you to kind of see those two things grow at the same time? People are worried and yet they're still doing the thing that you might worry more about?
Not really. I mean, people manage risk in different kinds of ways, and we're often thought to think of the thing that's kind of front and center, which is the pandemic, of course. So I think that's overriding other risks that are associated with voting by absentee or voting early.
Because of all these different methods of voting and, you know, delays on election night, how long do you think it'll take before the vote results are actually in?
My personal expectation is kind of a minimum 2 weeks. The only way that I think that picture changes is if Joe Biden is even with or up on President Trump in some of those key battleground states. And that would be enough for me to say, okay, it's given how the absentees are breaking, you know, that's the done deal.
All right, Jacob, thanks as always for the time. Great to have you on this morning. That's Jacob Neuheisel, political science professor at the University of Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bay Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.